President Trump visited Capitol Hill today to push for a tax overhaul that Senate Republicans hope to vote on this week. But several key senators remain on the fence. The Congressional Budget Office says the bill would balloon the deficit and primarily benefit wealthy Americans. We're joined from Capitol Hill by Senator Sherrod Brown, Democrat from Ohio and ranking member on the Committee on Banking, Housing and Urban Affairs. Senator, welcome. And do you think the Republicans have the votes they need to pass this bill?
I know that they're making deals. I know their billionaire contributors are demanding this bill. Some House members and some Republicans in the Congress are actually saying that their contributors say don't bother calling back unless you pass the tax bill. That tells you everything. So they're at a fork in the road. So far, they seem to be walking down the path of sort of traditional special interest negotiate in the back room of the majority leader's office Republican tax cuts. And that's bad for this country. It hurts the middle class. We know every time they pass a tax bill for the rich that the middle class shrinks.
So do you think they'll have the votes in the end?
I don't know. I think it depends on the deals they cut. And it's the more information that comes out by 2021, people earning $40,000 or less will actually be net losers under this bill. How could you possibly, when the rich are getting richer in this country, the top 1% just continue to grab a bigger and bigger share of the American pie? How can you give them more and cut and raise taxes on people making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $75,000 a year? So I think it's a close vote. I think it depends on how much the public raises its voice and sends emails and makes phone calls to their senators and House members.
Well, let me go to that point, because as you mentioned, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, says this plan could actually hurt the poor. But Senator Pat Toomey, your Republican colleague, told Morning Edition today that the tax bill would be a tax cut for low-income Americans and for middle-income Americans, in part because it gets rid of the individual mandate to buy health insurance or pay a penalty. Let's listen.
We're going to directly lower their taxes in a variety of ways. One of them is they're not going to have to pay this penalty anymore. So that is very constructive.
Now, about 6 million people or so actually ended up paying that penalty for not having health insurance at last check. But what's your response to that, that getting rid of the individual mandate in Obamacare is actually a tax cut for some?
Well, the Congressional Budget Office. And who are you? Whom are you going to believe in the end? The Congressional Budget Office, a bipartisan, nonpartisan group of professionals, are a very ideological, very, very conservative U.S. senator. The fact is that the CBO has said there'll be $25 billion cuts to Medicare, that 13 million people will lose their insurance, hundreds of thousands in my home state of Ohio, that premiums will go up 10%. And while you cut taxes on some of maybe $200 to $300 on a working class working family in Ohio, in Cleveland or in Toledo or in Youngstown, you're taking money out of their pocket when you take the subsidies that they had for health insurance. So you take more out of their pockets than you put in, and you can play all the math games that any U.S. senator sitting on the Finance Committee wants to play. It's where Republicans always go when they meet in their special interest groups in the back room. That's why the middle class continues to shrink in this country. That's why the rich are getting richer, and this will just accelerate that trend. We all know that in this body. Some don't want to recognize it because they do the bidding of their billionaire contributors far too often.
I want to ask you about the fight over the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which right now has two leaders, the White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney, who is serving at the request of the president, and Leandra English, who was named acting director by the outgoing director Richard Cordray. English has taken her claim to court. What do you think she should do?
I'm pleased that she's taking the claim to court. If you play this out, the Trump administration, if they win on this one, you are going to see more and more interim appointments like Mulvaney here who don't go through Senate confirmation, and then they have no ethics rules when they return to the private sector. And the president could just do a number of these at agency after agency, putting interim people in. I'm not a lawyer, but I know in the Constitution, advise and consent means advise and consent. It doesn't mean the president's all-powerful to continue to install people in. But I think when this is really not about Mulvaney, it's not about English. It really is about the people that the Consumer Bureau has helped. And one of the first things that Mulvaney did was stop the payment. He froze the civil penalty payments, that money that was going to thousands of Americans all over the country who had been cheated by banks. So he is basically saying, the banks aren't going to have to pay these fines, these civil penalties, because I'm the director now. We're just going to freeze those. I mean, I want somebody that really, in the end, It's whose side are you on? And working, are you on working American side or on the side of the Wall Street banks? And I'm very concerned about all these nominees. I mean, the people that the president are putting in at so many of these regulatory agencies. He puts somebody in head of the EPA who is hostile to safe drinking water and clean air laws. He puts people in Department of Education who are hostile to public education. I mean, she pretty much says that. You have the head of the Office of the Comptroller of Currency. They're either a lawyer for Wall Street or they're a Wall Street banker in far too many cases. That's, as he talked about draining the swamp, he's really putting these regulators all over the government to again side with Wall Street. And I guess I don't, that's not my definition of draining the swamp in this town.
One more question, Senator Brown. You are from Ohio, which is by some measures the overdose capital of the country, one of the centers of the opioid crisis. President Trump recently declared the crisis a public health emergency, but he stopped short of calling it a national emergency. Do you see any end in sight to the opioid crisis?
Of course there's an end in sight, but the government hasn't risen to the occasion. The state legislature in Ohio has fallen abysmally short on this. The president of the United States should have issued an executive order in a state of emergency and really put the forces of the resources of the federal government across federal agencies the way you do for a major public health emergency in another way, or a hurricane, or an Ebola outbreak, or anything like that. And the president went in the right direction. He fell short. Congress has fallen short on this. There is an end in sight, but we're not seeing it yet until we see all levels of society. It means local groups that don't have the resources to in Chillicothe, Ohio, to scale up their treatment to better education. It means making the drug companies more responsible. It's I don't want to point fingers. It's everybody, but we need all hands on deck. And so far, the White House hasn't seen it that way.
That's Senator Sherrod Brown, a Democrat from Ohio. Senator, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you. Thank you, Jerry.